time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are traipsing into fall. There are a lot of signs of fall out and about these days, including the fact that the wild cucumber, which has overtaken our rain garden in a fairly significant way, is done flowering for the year. And now we await the fairly large and quite prickly seed pods. If you haven't checked out wild cucumber in your neighborhood, look for these vines that are growing up and over things. I was driving down Highway 65 going to the cities a couple of weeks ago, and there was a tree along the way that was absolutely ensconced with this. It was covered top to bottom. You couldn't see the species of the tree anymore. Only the covering of this wild cucumber vine. And I had mentioned wild cucumber before, and somebody had said to me, that stuff is really taking over. And, you know, that trip to the cities really brought it to light. There is a lot of wild cucumber vining up and over things, and it's happening here at our rain garden as well as probably in your neighborhood too. So look for these kind of starry maple-like leaves, and now the flowers are pretty much done. You'll see the whitish-looking structure that was the flower structure, and that's where the seed pods will emerge, and you can check those out. You should probably, I don't know. You know, I don't know if it were growing at my house. I'm not sure if I would work on keeping it in check or not, but it's doing quite well here, and as I peer out the window, I see that there's a hummingbird out there sitting under the leaves of the wild cucumber, sheltering from the light rain that's falling here in the Grand Rapids area. And speaking of hummingbirds, I don't know if you've noticed, but the frenzy that was going on a week or 2 weeks ago, where I have seven available spots where hummingbirds can drink, and at times there were as many waiting to come and drink as there were drinking, and that has really declined. Now, I haven't seen a male hummingbird for at least a week, probably 10 days, and that is typical. The males are the first to migrate. I don't know if those that remain at my house are locals that are holding out, waiting, or if they are, in fact, migrators that are just coming through from further north. But I have a decreased amount. I see them there mornings and evenings, which makes me think they're probably migrating, but not during the day the way it was a couple weeks ago. They've really, really cut back on the amount of time that they're spending here. Typically, I see my last hummingbirds around the middle of this month, the 15th. I think the 16th is my average last sighting of hummingbirds. I have reports, and I have seen hummingbirds as late as October, but that is not very often the case. So hummingbirds definitely moving on out of the area. Other events, the ants, the cornfield, or not cornfield, but the, what are they? Woodland ants, the little ants that make the little volcanoes in your driveway, they have come out and flown and have done their breeding and now are in the process of building new homes for next year. And we will probably have seen the last of the flying ants for the year. Red raspberry is done. I was picking and eating raspberries a week ago, and this past week I have not been able to find a raspberry. Maybe there are a couple left in your neighborhood, but pretty much done for the year. So time to move on to the fall fruits, I guess. Apples are coming ripe. Crab apples are really starting to shine. Lots of apples on trees around the area. I didn't have a very good year of apples. I have few enough apples that I could probably eat them all in a week. And that wouldn't be that difficult. I wouldn't have to eat a lot of apples to cover the amount of apples that I have this year. But others had a good year. My father-in-law has a great apple crop this year. I just haven't seen that kind of production at my house. I think last year was an absolutely unbelievable year for apples and so, at my house, personally. And so I suspect that the apple trees are resting this year. I don't know. One thing for sure, the asters are definitely getting into the act. I noticed this week that the flat-topped asters are about done with their bloom. They are white, and as the name implies, they have sort of an umbel-shaped flowering habit. Most of the flowers are right at the top of the plant. The other white aster that's blooming right now is panicled or ericoides, aster ericoides, and it is covered in little white flowers, and it's sometimes called I guess it's called many-flowered aster is another name for it, but it's a white flower, and the flowers are all over the top of the plant, just scattered everywhere. So between the flat-topped aster and this many-flowered aster, those are the two white asters. There are some beautiful, deep bluish-purple asters that are about an inch across. And if you check those out, you're probably looking at a aster called heart-leaved aster. Now, the heart-leaved aster, the leaf doesn't really look like a heart to me. Oh, you might find one that sort of resembles it. But the thing that identifies the heart-leaved aster for me, the northern heart-leaved aster, is that the petiole, the stem that holds the leaf to the plant, has a wing on it. It's just a little bit wider than the petiole. It might be a quarter of an inch wide. And it's just this little, like, pseudo leaf, I guess. It's just on the edges of the stem as it comes out to where the actual leaf is. But that will help you to identify the northern heart-leaved aster, which is blooming profusely right now and looking really good. Of the goldenrods, I was thinking that there is a zigzag aster. There's also a zigzag goldenrod, which is a flower of the woods, and it has a big, broad leaf with very definite teeth along the edges. It makes it look unlike any other goldenrod you're likely to come across, but it is lovely to look at, and it is pretty easy to identify because it grows in the woods and can be seen anytime you're in heavy forest. So look for the zigzag asters or goldenrods while you're out in the woods. The other goldenrods that are blooming are the gray goldenrod, which is that kind of long column of flowers, and then there are the grass-leaved goldenrod, the flat-topped goldenrod, which is kind of at the end of its bloom. The ones I've been looking at, there are a few flowers left at the tops, but for the most part, it's just starting on the decline. Same could be said for the Canada and the tall goldenrods. They're both kind of in decline right now. They've had their moment in the sun and done their thing, and it won't be too long, and we'll be looking at lots of little seed pods at the tops of the goldenrods. If you're out in the woods, and especially if you're in an acidy kind of a soil, let's say you're dancing around in the pines, you're likely to see Indian pipe this time of year. Indian pipe is a saprophytic plant. It is pure white or sometimes slightly pink, and it comes up from the ground with a few little leaves on it and then bends over at the top like a shepherd's crook, and that's the flower kind of facing down. And then as it ripens and pollinates and goes to seed, it will straighten up and point straight up. And there'll be a little cup at the top that will hold the seeds for Indian pipe. And saprophytic because it lives off of dead wood in the soil. And it is taking its nourishment directly from the decaying wood below and doesn't have any chlorophyll, so it's not producing any sugars on its own. It's stealing all of that energy from dying and rotting wood underground. That's Indian pipe, and it's pretty common right now, especially, as I say, in those areas where the soils are somewhat acid. If you're under pines, if you're in the pine area, you're likely to see that kind of stuff. My neighbor has several large hay fields and has mowed them and baled them and has moved the bales off of the fields. And the new alfalfa coming up behind is in bloom. And the alfalfa right now is really attractive to these little common sulfur butterflies. And I mentioned last week that there were hundreds on my fields, and there still are hundreds on my fields. And one of the things that you notice about the behavior of these butterflies is that oftentimes you'll see a couple of them together in an area, and they'll fly straight up, and sometimes they'll fly quite high, and one sort of chasing the other. And essentially that's what's happening. These are territories that these butterflies have staked out for themselves, and when a second male moves into the territory of the first, they do this little dance of flight that sort of attempts to drive one away from the other. In the insect world, other things that I've noticed, this is the time of year when dragonflies, the green darners, are starting to migrate. The red meadowhawks are becoming quite common, quite easy to spot. And there are several red meadowhawks that'll be out this time of year, including the ruby face, the cherry face, the saffron winged, autumn meadowhawks. All of them will be out and flying around. The males typically are red. The females sort of gold, maybe a little bit more towards yellow, but different colors for the opposite sexes there, and they are going to be out and flying around all fall. I have seen red meadowhawks as late as November. If you get an early November day where the temperature climbs into the 50s, oftentimes you'll see these red meadowhawks flying around. I have a patch of what I had been calling sunflowers for years and years and years. And this year I decided, well, maybe it's time I actually went out and tried to key these out. And when I did, I discovered that they weren't sunflower at all, but Jerusalem artichoke. And they belong to the same family, Helianthus, the same genus as sunflowers, but they are not exactly sunflowers. And they're quite tall. Mine are probably 8-9 feet high, and they just began to bloom here at the end of August, which is sort of typical for them. And they are now just beginning to reach their first peak of bloom. So I've been watching the Jerusalem artichokes. Other events this past week, the squirrels have been cutting the white spruce cones. They've been cutting the red Norway pine cones. They've been cutting and storing both of those, and they've been cutting and storing the red oak acorns. White oak acorns are falling out of the trees just wholesale. My white oaks are dropping acorns. You hardly want to walk under those without having a hard hat. And if you're driving down a road and there's a white oak near the edge of the road, you'll see the concrete or the gravel, whatever it happens to be, whatever structure the road is, you'll see it covered in white oak acorns. And they're all coming down right now. And the squirrels are working overtime to get in there and help themselves to that good food. It's a good source of energy for them, and they will use it as much as they can. So My advice would be to keep your eyes open, appreciate the last flowers of fall. We're seeing some yellows and reds. The ash are turning yellow. The maples are turning red. The sarsaparilla is turning yellow. The milkweed is turning yellow. So is the spreading dogbane. Lots of plants out there that are showing signs of fall, and we are too. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for listening.